This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. In the scientific community, Bernie Krause's ideas and research tend to raise eyebrows. He's a biologist with an unconventional theory called biophony. Krause thinks that all animals communicate with each other on their own special frequencies, and that when you put all those frequencies together, they interact in a way that is not unlike a symphony orchestra. What you're hearing there is a bit of the 35,000 hours of nature recordings that Krause has made. Some of his fellow scientists think his theory is a little out there, but others, including the great biologist E.O. Wilson, think he's really onto something. As part of our continuing series on science and creativity, Jill DeBoff talked to Bernie Krause about the moment that he discovered biophony.
One evening, I was sitting there listening to these sounds, and it occurred to me that these sounds were kind of symphonic, that all of the voices, all of the insect voices and the mammal voices and the frog voices, all of these critters had found channels to vocalize in without their voices being masked by other creatures.
That's the biologist, Bernie Krause. He's describing his theory of biophony. It's literally a combination of biology and symphony. But he wasn't always a scientist. 2 decades before he began studying biology, Bernie Krause was a guitarist and folk singer.
After I graduated college, I joined a group called the Weavers. We introduced a song called Guantanamera.
After the Weavers broke up, Krause moved to California. It was the early 60s and the psychedelic scene was about to break open. Krause began experimenting with a new electronic keyboard, the Moog synthesizer. In 1967, he and a friend set up a tent at the Monterey Pop Festival, and they sold the Moog to big-name bands.
Like the Monkees and the Birds, all animal sounds, the Beatles. We also sold to the Doors and Frank Zappa.
But the Moog wasn't easy to use.
Because most of these groups were so stoned all the time, they couldn't play the synthesizer. They couldn't figure out how to make it work.
Strange days.
The Moog became so popular, Krause ended up getting work outside the music scene. He started designing sound for Hollywood movies, like Rosemary's Baby and Apocalypse Now.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I did about a third of the music and the helicopter sounds. And also, I got fired 8 times.
But every time director Francis Ford Coppola fired him, he rehired him for twice the pay.
Smells like victory.
At least you know the risks when you're working with animals.
Krause hadn't spent much time with animals up to this point. But then a friend of his suggested he make a concept album about ecology.
I didn't know what ecology was at the time. I thought the wild was the zoo. What did I know?
But he ended up making that album and called it In a Wild Sanctuary. It mixed rock music with sounds he recorded at the San Francisco Zoo and the Pacific Ocean.
Being out there for the first time with earphones on, that was the moment that I decided I wanted to be outdoors instead of in, and I wanted to figure out a way in my life to do that however long I was going to live.
So Krause got his PhD in biology and became a bioacoustician, someone who records the sounds of nature. He started by going to far-off places like Antarctica, Borneo, and the Amazon.
I heard this growl in my headphones. We had kind of sensed that something was following us down the trail anyway, because we could smell the urine of the animal. We couldn't hear it or see it, though. But boy, when I set up my mics, I sure heard it. I was frozen solid. It was just terrifying.
But Krause's notion that nature operates on a symphonic spectrum has its critics. Some biologists are skeptical that animals choose to jump onto specific frequencies. And as to whether biophony has practical uses?
Well, for one thing, it's being used as an analgesic in medicine to calm patients down, lower their stress levels, wean them off pain medication.
Bernie Krause sees his research as activism. When man-made noises interfere with a segment of the spectrum and suddenly animals can't communicate, they die out. His own sound library reflects the disappearing ecosystem.
Over 40% of that collection comes from habitats that are now virtually extinct. 40% of that library comes from sounds you can't hear anymore.
An example of this is Krauss's recording of Lincoln Meadow at Yuba Pass, California. Here it is before the forest was logged. Listen to Krauss's recording 1 year after logging. The density of the ecosystem has been greatly reduced. Krauss says the mating call of a warbler, or the warning call of a cricket, is like a soloist in a symphony orchestra.
If you think of what a musical score looks like, that's the kind of vision that I had in my head as a result of listening to this stuff.
But this stuff won't last forever. And Krauss says there's only one way to appreciate what we've got now.
Quiet down. Be quiet. And the other thing is, just listen.
For Studio 360, I'm Jill Duboff.
By the way, all the sounds of nature you heard in that story were recorded by Bernie Krauss.